Yes Minister by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn, starring Paul Eddington as the Right Honourable James Hacker MP and Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey Appleby, with Derek Folds as Bernard Woolley in The Compassionate Society.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Good morning, John.
What is it today, sir?
Ministry. All the morning on Health Service Administration.
Ah, chap just been talking about that on the radio, saying the trouble with the health and education and transport services is that all the top people in government go to private hospitals and send their kids to private schools.
Very good. Comedy programme, was it?
And go to work in chauffeur-driven cars. But don't you think there's something in it, sir? I mean, if you and Sir Humphrey went to work in a number 27...
No, quite impracticable. We work quite long enough hours as it is without spending an extra hour a day waiting at bus stops.
You'd have to make the bus service much more efficient, wouldn't you?
Well, you certainly would.
Yes, that's what he was saying, see. Well, it's the same with the health service. You remember a booper, sir?
Anything on the radio, George?
About time for yesterday in Parliament, I think, sir.
Time, Mr. James Lawford, the opposition member for Birmingham South West, asked the Minister of Administrative Affairs, Mr. James Hacker, about the government's pledge to reduce the number of administrators in the health service.
Yes, sir. The government has already achieved a reduction of 11.3% in administrative and clerical staff and is actively pursuing further economies.
Would the Minister explain how his assurance to the House squares with this minute from his own department?
At this point, Mr. Lawford dramatically produced a paper from his pocket.
I quote, "If data processing staff were reclassified from administrative to technical, if secretarial staff in hospitals were redesignated as ancillary workers, and if the base of comparison was changed from the financial to the calendar year, then the figures would show a fall of 11.3%. Would the Minister care to comment on this shabby deception?
That was a bit of a googly, wasn't it, sir?
I have no knowledge of the document which the Honourable Member is brandishing.
Give the date and file reference to the Minister in exchange for an assurance that he will set up a full independent inquiry.
I am happy to give that assurance.
The House gave a second reading to the Scottish Fisheries Bill. The Minister of State...
Well, that's rough, isn't it? A full independent inquiry.
Well...
You've been dropped in it there.
I got away with it, though, didn't I?
You were lucky they didn't ask you about that new St. Edward's Hospital.
Why?
Well, they finished building it 15 months ago, and it's still got no patients.
I suppose the DHSS haven't got enough money to staff it.
Oh, it's got staff. 500 administrators. Just no patients.
Who told you this?
My mate Charlie. He's the driver for the Secretary of State for Health.
Humphrey, I am appalled.
So am I, Minister.
The stupidity of it, the incompetence.
I agree, I can't think what came over you.
Beg your pardon?
To concede a full independent inquiry.
Humphrey.
Yes, Miss?
That is not what I'm talking about.
But you mentioned stupidity and incompetence.
Yours, Humphrey, yours.
Mine, Minister.
How could you drop me into it like that?
A small omission from the brief. We can't foresee everything, but a full independent inquiry.
I don't want an inquiry either. But if you're drowning and somebody throws you a rope, you grab it.
It was not a rope, it was a noose. You should have stood up for the department. That's what you're there for.
No, Humphrey, it won't do. I prepared myself thoroughly for question time yesterday, but nowhere in my brief was there any indication that you'd been juggling the figures so that I'd be giving misleading replies to the House.
Minister, you said you wanted the administration figures reduced, didn't you?
Yes.
So we reduced the figures.
But only the figures, not the number of administrators.
Of course not.
Well, that's not what I meant.
Well, Minister, really, we're not mind readers. You said reduce the figures, so we reduced the figures.
How did it get out? Another leak. This isn't a department, it's a calendar. How can we govern responsibly if backbenchers are going to get all the facts? Well, at least an inquiry gives us a bit of time.
So does a time bomb.
Mm. Have you got a disposal squad? Here, can't we get the Independent Inquiry to exonerate the department?
You mean Rickett?
No. Well, yes.
Minister! No, everything depends on who the chairman is. He absolutely has to be sound.
What do you mean, sound?
A sound man will understand what is required. He will perceive the implications. He will have a sensitive and sympathetic insight into the overall problem. In other words, he must be sound.
You mean bent?
Certainly not. I mean a man of broad understanding.
Well, what about a retired politician?
And unimpeachable integrity.
Yes, I see. A businessman. An academic?
Well...
All right, so who did you have in mind?
Well, Minister, I thought perhaps a retired civil servant.
I see.
Sir Maurice Williams could be the man.
You don't think he might be too independent?
He's hoping for a peerage.
Well, this won't give him up, will it?
No, but the right finding will earn him a few more brownie points.
Brownie points?
Yes, they all add up until finally you get the badge.
All right, Sir Maurice it is.
Right, well, thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Brown Owl.
Excuse me, Minister.
Yes, Bernard.
Just two things, Minister. The Cuban political refugees.
Oh, not that again.
It looks as if there's a row blowing up about our refusal to do any more for them.
Well, it's not my fault. The Treasury won't give us any
quite
funds.
So, Minister.
I can't beat the Treasury, Bernard. No, I shall say nothing. One more public humiliation and I'll be a political refugee myself. What's the other thing?
Well, you asked me to find out about that alleged empty hospital in North London.
Yes.
Well, as I warned you, the driver's network is not wholly reliable. George has got it wrong.
Oh, good. How did you find out?
Through the private secretary's network.
And?
There are, in fact, only 342 administrative staff at the new St. Edward's Hospital. The other 170 are porters, cleaners, laundry workers, gardeners, cooks, and so forth.
How many medical staff?
Oh, none of them.
None?
No.
We are talking about St. Edward's Hospital, aren't we, Bernard?
Oh, yes, it's brand new. It was completed 15 months ago and fully staffed, but unfortunately, there were government cutbacks at that time, and there was consequently no money left for medical services.
A brand new hospital with 500 non-medical staff and no patients?
Oh, there is one patient, Minister.
One?
Yes, the deputy chief administrator fell over a piece of scaffolding and broke his leg.
Oh, my God. What if I'd been asked about this in the House? Why hasn't it got out?
Apparently, it has been contrived to keep it looking like a building site. And so far, no one's realised it's operational. You know, scaffolding and skips still there, the normal thing.
Normal thing? I think I'd better go and see it for myself, before the opposition does.
Yes, it's surprising that the press haven't found out by now, isn't it?
Fortunately, Bernard, most of our journalists are so amateur, they'd have grave difficulty finding out that today's Wednesday.
It's actually Thursday, Minister.
So why is your minister interested in St. Edward's Hospital?
Well, he's apparently greatly concerned that it has no patients.
Ah, well, it takes all sorts.
Yes.
How can it have patients when it has no nursing staff?
Quite.
We've learned at the DHSS that it takes time to get things going.
Mm-hmm.
First, we have to sort out the smooth running of the hospital. Having patients around would be no help at all.
No. They'd just be in the way.
Quite. Tell your minister that this is the run-in period.
Yes, the run-in period. But how long is the run-in period going to last? You see, because my minister agreed to a full independent inquiry.
And you know what I think about that.
Oh, yes, I know. But we are going to get some patients into St. Edward's eventually, aren't we?
If possible, yes. It's certainly our present intention. In a couple of years, probably, when the financial situation has eased up a bit.
Not till then.
No. How can I open 40 new wards at St. Edward's when I'm making closures everywhere else? The Treasury won't wear it. The Cabinet won't either.
But my minister might want to shut the whole place.
Impossible. What about the unions?
Are the unions active at St. Edward's yet?
Good point. Remember that firebrand agitator at Southwark Hospital?
Billy Fraser. Oh, odious man. Could be useful.
Yes, time he was moved on.
Humphrey, the whole National Health Service is an advanced case of galloping bureaucracy.
Certainly not. Not galloping. A gentle canter at the most.
Instances flood into my office every day.
Who from?
MPs, constituents, doctors, nurses, the public.
Troublemakers.
The public?
They're some of the worst.
Listen to this memo. Stethoscope requisition. Because of the current supply situation, it is not possible to issue you with the extra stethoscopes you have applied for. We are, however, in a position to supply you with longer tubes for your existing stethoscopes.
Well?
Doesn't strike you as odd?
No. No, if they have a supply of long tubes...
No, they didn't need longer stethoscopes. They needed more stethoscopes.
But if the stethoscopes had really long tubes, Minister, the consultant could stay in one place and listen to all the chests on the ward.
Now, how about this? Nurses' uniforms. It has become apparent that the latest consignment of nurses' coats are made of a see-through material. Nurses who have been issued with these coats are requested to report to the director of the Uniform Surveillance Centre, who will assess the extent of the problem.
Nice work if you can get it.
Be serious, Humphrey. Listen to this. Will you please note that the soft paper toilet rolls are provided only for the use of patients and not staff? It would appear that in recent months, staff have been using the soft toilet rolls for one reason or another. Now, what about this one? St. Stephen's mortuary will be closed over Christmas. During the holiday, medical staff are requested to cooperate in keeping pressure off this department.
Yes, that's a very civil and reasonable request.
You think for the rest of the year doctors try to keep the mortuary busy, do you?
Oh, really, Minister? These are just a few isolated examples. In general, the health service is economical and efficient as the government allows it to be.
That's ridiculous, Humphrey. Look at the total figures. They speak for themselves. In 10 years, the number of health service administrators has gone up by 40,000... and the number of hospital beds has gone down by 60,000. Mm-hmm. And the annual cost of the health service has gone up by £1.5 billion, in real terms.
If only British industry could match this growth record.
Growth? Are you suggesting they're spending larger and larger sums treating fewer and fewer patients so that we can employ more and more administrators is a proper use of the funds voted by Parliament and supplied by the taxpayer?
Certainly.
But that money is only voted to make sick people better.
No, Minister. It makes everyone better. Better for having shown the extent of their care and compassion. When money is allocated to health and social services, Parliament and the country feel cleansed. They are absolved, purified. It is a sacrifice.
Oh, claptrap.
When a sacrifice has been made, nobody asks the priest what happened to the ritual offering after the ceremony.
No, Humphrey, you're wrong. The country does care if the money is misspent.
With respect, Minister, they care that it is not seen to be misspent.
But that's not true. Look at the uproar over the mental hospital scandals.
Precisely my point. The abuses had been going on quite happily for years, decades. No one was remotely concerned to find out what was really being done with their money. What outraged them was being told about it.
Humphrey, this is all a cynical smokescreen. Are we or aren't we agreed that there is no point in keeping a hospital running simply for the benefit of the staff?
Minister, that is not how I would have expressed it.
Well, that's how I've expressed it.
Indeed.
All right, how would you express it?
Of course, at the end of the day, one of a hospital's prime functions is patient care.
One? What else?
But until we have the money for the nursing and medical staff, that is a function we are not able to pursue, perhaps in 18 months or so.
18 months?
Yes, perhaps. By then, we may be able to open a couple of wards.
We must open them at once, Humphrey, and more than a couple.
Well, we could form an interdepartmental committee to examine the feasibility of monitoring a proposal for admitting patients at an earlier date.
How long would it take to report?
Oh, not long.
How long?
Oh, about 18 months.
Terrific. Well, I suggest we get rid of everyone currently employed at the hospital and use the money to open closed wards in other hospitals.
Minister!
And when we can afford it, we'll open St. Edward's with medical staff. If you would be so kind.
Minister, if you do that, you will delay the opening of St. Edward's for patients for years.
Why?
You talk as if the staff have nothing to do, simply because there are no patients there.
Well, what do they do?
There are a number of extremely busy departments, Minister. First, there is contingency planning for strikes, fires, air raids, nuclear war, epidemics, food or water poisoning. Now, in such a crisis, the local general hospital becomes a key centre for survival. Then there is the data and research department. At the moment, they're conducting a full-scale demographic survey of the catchment area. We have to anticipate future requirements for maternity, pediatrics, geriatrics, and the male-female balance. Third, finance, of course, projected accounts. balance sheets and cash flow budgets. Then there's the purchasing department for medical and other equipment, obtaining estimates, going through catalogues and price lists.
Purchasing what?
Everything. From brain scanners to Brasso. May I continue?
Be briefer.
Would that I could, Minister, but you do need to understand. Fifth, there is the technical department for evaluating equipment. Sixth, the building department, which deals with the phase three building plans, costing and so forth, for the final phase of the hospital, which should be complete in 10 years' time. Then there is maintenance, catering and cleaning, personnel in charge of leave, national health insurance, salaries, and some staff welfare officers to look after over 500 employees. And finally, administration.
More administrators to administrate other administrators?
It's important work, Minister. The typing pool, desks, stationery, office furniture and equipment, liaison between departments.
Humphrey, I can't tell you whether you're being serious or not.
What do you mean,
Humphrey,
Minister?
There are no patients. That is what a hospital is for. Patients. Ill people. Healing the sick.
Yes, Minister, but all of these vital tasks that I have listed must be carried on with or without patients.
Why?
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 I don't understand.
I don't know how else to put it. Why?
Minister, would you get rid of the army just because there's no war?
Oh, that's totally different. Hospitals must get results.
Equally impossible. The unions won't wear it.
Then sack half the ancillary workers, half the administrators, and replace them with medical staff and open a couple of wards.
Now, Minister,
that's my last word on the subject. No, my last word. No, you may go.
I shall have a word with the health service unions, but I don't hold out much hope. Well, thank you very much. Brian, are you rushing away? You've got time for a drink?
Oh, well, just a quick one.
Good, good. The usual?
Thank you.
Do sit down.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What are we going to do about St. Edward's Hospital?
Well, between ourselves, we haven't got much of a case. We really can't fight you on this one.
What do you mean?
I think my members realise you can't keep ancillary staff on indefinitely in an empty hospital.
Isn't that a bit defeatist?
What?
Surely you can stick up for your people better than that.
You mean you want to...
It's not just your members, you know. There are 342 administrative civil servants. They must have some workers to administer...
But civil servants are never laid off.
We live in strange and disturbing times.
You mean, if we take industrial action, you'll support us?
My dear Brian, I am the permanent secretary. I'm charged with the task of keeping the wheels of government turning. I could not possibly countenance any such action. But if there were widespread and effective opposition from the ancillary workers, then the civil servants would have to stay on as well.
No, but what about the minister?
The minister doesn't know his ACAS from his NALGO.
Oh, I see, yeah. Well, I haven't got much of a case, have I? Hospital empty for 15 months, no hope of opening in any ward for another year or more.
Oh, pull yourself together, man. Think of your members, their wives, children, cats, budgies.
Trouble is, they're all more or less resigned to it now.
Is Billy Fraser resigned to it?
But he's in Southwark.
Do you want to bet?
You mean... Oh, well, that's a different matter. If I've got some real shop floor militancy to build on...
You see, unity, solidarity.
Thanks for the drink, Humphrey.
Thank you, brother. Give my good wishes to our fraternal comrade, won't you? We shall not be moved.
Minister, this is Mrs. Rogers, Chief Administrator.
How nice to meet you.
Minister. And this is Mr. Knight.
How do you do, Minister?
Mr. Templeman.
Miss
Duff.
How do you do?
This is Billy Fraser, our Chairman of the Joint Shop Stewards Committee.
How nice to meet you.
I wouldn't count on it.
You would like to come this way, Minister?
Yes, of course, thank you.
We can start by looking at the wards. And this is E Ward.
Ah. A very impressive space.
And over on this side is F ward, which, as you can see, offers precisely the same...
space, yes. Most impressive.
And one floor up from here, G and H wards are exactly similar, offering the potential for further expansion out on the north and west sides. And here on the south side, we come to the central administration office.
Yes, of course.
This is J Theatre.
How much did all this cost?
Well, together with radiotherapy and intensive care, $2.25 million.
Doesn't it horrify you that it's not being used?
Oh, no. A very good thing in some ways. Prolongs its life. Cuts down running costs.
But there are no patients.
No, but the essential work of the hospital still has to go on.
Aren't the patients the essential work?
Running an organization of 500 people is a big job, Minister.
Yes, but if they weren't here, they wouldn't be here.
What?
Now, Mrs. Rogers, this can't go on. I'm going to get patients into this hospital or close it.
Yes, Minister. Well, in the course of time.
No, not in the course of time, now. We will get rid of 300 of your people and use the savings to pay for doctors and nurses and get some patients in.
Look here, Mr. Hacker. Without those 300 people, the hospital just wouldn't function.
You think it's functioning now?
It is one of the best-run hospitals in the country. It's up for the Florence Nightingale Award.
What's that?
It's won by the most hygienic hospital in the region.
Look, I've said my last word. 300 staff will go.
You mean 300 jobs lost?
We can't do any serious surgery with just a skeleton medical staff anyway.
Then don't do serious surgery. I don't care if you only do varicose veins, hernias, piles. Do something.
Do you mean 300 jobs lost?
Yes, I do, Mr. Fraser. A hospital is not a source of employment. It's a place to heal the sick.
It's a source of employment for my members. You want to put them out of work, do you? Is that what you call a compassionate society?
Yes, I'd rather be compassionate to patients than your members.
Well, we'll come out on strike.
Fine, do that. What's it matter? Who can you harm? Please, do. Go on strike. The sooner the better. And take all these administrators out with you while you're at it. Then we won't have to pay you. Ah, Bernard. Time for a drink before going home.
Oh, thank you, Minister. Shall I...
Oh, thank you. I thought all that went very well at the hospital, didn't you, Bernard?
Yes, Minister.
I wasn't having any argument about it.
No, Minister.
Threatening to strike. Played right into my hands. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, we're missing the news. Switch it on, Bernard.
But our diplomatic correspondent says that the United States is now putting considerable pressure on the British government to take in some Cuban refugees. The government has made no official comment.
No, of course not. I haven't got the money.
All workers in National Health Service hospitals in Greater London area are to go on strike at Friday.
What?
A row has blown up at St. Edward's Hospital in London over the proposed laying off of 170 ancillary workers. We spoke to union activist Billy Fraser.
We are striking against unemployment. We could bring London's hospitals to a complete standstill. There will be no blood transfusions, no operations, no cancer treatment, nothing until we have brought back the compassionate society.
My God!
But how can you do this to the patients?
We're not doing it. It's Mr. Hacker that's doing it.
Shouldn't you think twice before inflicting these terrible sanctions on innocent members of the public?
I can assure you, and I'd like to take this opportunity to assure the general public, that every stone will be left unturned in the search for a settlement.
Oh, my God.
Minister, you've seen the news.
Yes. You told me you'd have a word with the unions.
Well, I did, but...
What do we do about it?
Well, for the moment, we have an even more pressing problem.
What?
It looks as if Sir Maurice Williams' independent inquiry is going to be unfavourable to us.
But you told me he was sound. He wanted a peerage.
Well, unfortunately, he's also trying to work his peerage in his capacity as chairman of the Joint Committee for the Resettlement of Refugees.
And there are more brownie points in refugees than government inquiries.
Precisely, Minister.
Doesn't he understand that we haven't got the money to house refugees?
Well,
Minister.
I don't care who it is, Bernard. I'm not talking to them.
It's number 10.
Give that to me. Yes? Yes. Ah. I see. Oh, I quite agree. Yeah. Thank you. Number 10 has seen Billy Fraser on the news. They hope that a peace formula can be found very soon.
On top of everything, Minister, Sir Maurice Williams says he will be satisfied only if the UK will take and house 1,000 refugees.
We haven't the money. We haven't even the money to open a 1,000-bed hospital. Never mind. How many refugees?
1,000.
1,000 refugees? 1,000 beds? Fully staffed?
Minister, that hospital was built for sick British, not healthy foreigners. There's a huge waiting list for it.
But I thought you said that Sir Maurice's inquiry was going to come down against the department. Is that what you want?
Yes, I see your point, Minister.
Bernard, reinstate all the staff at St. Edward's. Tell Sir Maurice Williams we're making a new hospital available to accommodate 1,000 refugees. And tell the press it was my decision. And everybody's happy.
Do you want to give them a quote?
No, why not? Say, this was a tough decision, but a necessary one. If we in Britain aim to be worthy of the name of...
The Compassionate Society?
Thank you, Humphrey.
Minister? Yes.
The Compassionate Society. Got that, Bernard?
Yes, Minister.
In The Compassionate Society, you heard Paul Eddington as Jim Hacker, Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey, and Derek Folds as Bernard. Sir Ian was played by Peter Jeffrey, Brian Baker by Norman Bird, and George by Arthur Cox. Ellen McIntosh was Mrs. Rogers, Peter Acre, Billy Fraser, John Bott, James Lawford MP, and other parts were by Narissa Knight, Bernard Brown and Arnold Diamond. The radio announcer was Brian Martin, and the television newsreader was Moira Stewart. Yes, Minister was written by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn, and adapted for radio by the producer, Pete Atkin.